Welcome to the Geordie and Guns podcast, episode 6. I'm joined with my regular co-host, Geordie. Hey, mate, how are you?
Yes, good. How are you, Andrew?
Excellent. Number 6. That means we've been going for 12 weeks, 3 months. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, doesn't feel like that long.
No, goes pretty quick. We interviewed Ari during the week, didn't we?
Yeah, Ari Barkla, the legend.
And we managed to get on together and do the recording together. So it's a world first for us to both be doing the interview. I had a look at the footage. There's a bit of, it gets out of sync a little bit here and there. It's three of us, but it works really well. So it was a good interview. Looking forward to getting it out there. It was good fun, wasn't it, Ari?
Yeah, it was. Good times.
He's a legend. Righty-o, mate. So how you been? 2 weeks? What's happening? Any racing? Yeah.
Not much racing, just kind of a bit of preparation for the Paulistina Cup over Easter. Ah. And yeah, I had my last day of school for this term today, so we've got 2 weeks holidays.
Party.
So that'll be pretty relaxing.
And the F1's in Melbourne this weekend. Do you ever go out and watch it?
Well, we're actually going out there on Saturday. Oh. So it's my first time at the Grand Prix. I'm so keen.
That's so amazing. I think next year, because you know how I've got my relos who live near Keilor? We're going to come down next year because he's a bit of a rev head. And my son, my boys are watching it with me. Like when we get up and watch it, because it's at night time, and then we get up in the morning and watch it together without knowing the result. So they're really into it. My six-year-old loves it. So
yeah, I really enjoy it. Oh, any motorsport I enjoy. But yeah, F1, I'd love it.
I'm pumped. It's a shame I don't think Danny Rick's going to be anything spectacular, but should be good.
I hope so.
Well done. Yeah. Can't wait to hear how that goes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You going with the whole family?
Just my dad and my older brother, Mitchell.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So jelly. All right, that's awesome. So that's you. And you had... mate, I was just telling you off air, it's raining again, Sydney and Central Coast. So I'm meant to race Saturday night for 1/10 at Ryde, and it's going to be cancelled again. And
out of just never ending.
Yeah, it's unreal. And out of the 6 rounds, which is every 2 weeks, so you're talking about 12 weeks, we've done 2 rounds. So... About 4 washouts. It's just incredible. So
it sucks.
Hills dismantled the track, right, about 3 weeks ago. Haven't been able to rebuild it because it hasn't stopped raining and they can't get the tractors onto the... So there's no track at Hills and it's not rebuilt. So, mate, it's carnage.
Yeah, and coming into winter, it could be even worse coming into winter.
Well, that's the thing, hey. You think... I don't know. You hope it just stops. But nothing's going on.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I got my XB2 completely rebuilt after the shenanigans with the ASC and put my 10.5 back in it. So I think, they're ready to go. Both. I've got the new bodies too with the checkered flag.
Yeah, I saw that. It looked pretty
schmick. So sick, man.
Yeah, like the checkered flag on them.
It made... Like, this is probably the third set of cars with that livery. It's the first time I've got him to put the checker, and it just sets it off. So he's got my XB8. He's got my XB8 body.
How's that build going for you?
Yes, I did a video today. I've just started
I saw that.
Bag one, so it's just the diffs. But as I was on the video, I was talking about the scales. So I actually bought scales. So I'm waiting for them to turn up. So I'm actually paused the build until... Not that I've always done the diffs without scales, but I thought I'll give it a go. Taking the motor apart, which is good. So I'm redoing the bearings.
So you're using the same motor from the hot bodies car?
I am going to for now. I might just buy a motor, but I kind of like... It's got a bit of nostalgic value, that motor.
Yeah.
But I'll see. Yeah, if I'll give it a go. But I'll probably just get a new motor at some stage.
Yeah, cool.
But yes, that's really exciting. Good. I'm pumped for that. It's going to be amazing to have a new 1/8 car. So got the XRS. Sorry, not the XRS. I'm thinking the Proline series continues, so I'm going to try to do as many of those as I can this year. So that'd be fun.
Sure.
Keilor is on. No, there's no racing this weekend, is there, for you either? I think Keilor was off.
Not this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so we've got the Paulistina Cup.
So what's that all about?
Next weekend.
What's that all about?
It's just like it's part of the Victorian Driver Series for us.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, so it'd be similar to your New South Wales series or whatever that is.
Yes, and that was announced. So we'll get onto the news. I actually, there's two things to talk about in the news. What's the first one, Geordie? You got
Yeah, so the New South Wales indoor state titles. I don't know if it's an official state titles, but yeah, that's held at LAP Addict RC in Newcastle.
Yeah, I haven't been there. So the guys, so my mates Payden and stuff from Maitland, they race there all the time because it's indoor, so it never washes out. But it's a pretty small track. Like it's really compact. I've never seen the pictures.
I've seen some photos of it. It
Yeah,
looks really narrow.
it is. So I don't know how it works, but and I don't know whether it's official. They're calling it same as the one at Mozzie RC in Queensland. So I don't know whether that was official. But anyway, that's been announced. That's good. I think it's the 30th of April, right? It's in 3 weeks. I think.
30th of April to the 1st of May.
May. So there's that, and
A couple
also,
of weeks away.
yeah. The New South Wales drivers, or not, yeah, New South Wales driver series have been announced. That's a 1/10 series. There's one at Maitland, one at Ryde, and one at Hills. The Maitland one's first. I haven't really done my research to know when that date's on, but I'll see if I can put it in the show notes. But yeah, there's three of those, and they're having trophies for each one and an overall winner. It used to be the club series where you added the points together for your club, but they've made it the driver series, so it's like yours.
Yeah, so similar to our one.
Is yours 3 rounds as
Yep. Do
well?
you have a round? It used to be four,
Right.
but I don't know right now. We haven't done it for a couple of years.
Yeah. So ours is
So,
definitely three.
yep.
I'm just going to see whether I'm not going to see it that quickly. But yeah.
Do you drop one round in total?
You know what? I don't actually know what the rules are. We might have a look in one of the breaks and we'll come back.
Okay.
And we'll do that. That's the only really news items we've got. There's been a bit of stuff going on in the States. I saw Ty Tesman posted that he came second with his XB2.
Yeah, the April Fool's
Yeah, that's
race.
right. Yep.
Yeah. And
And
Tom Rendinek was there as well.
yeah. And I think Ty comes 7th in the four-wheel drive. But yeah, so they're still racing a lot. I guess everyone's. I know a few people are they're starting to gear up for the Worlds in Spain. So that's going to be quite cool. The 1/8. Oh, the other thing was as well was the RCGP was on. I don't know if you saw any of that.
No, I didn't actually.
So they're only posting it to Facebook a month afterwards unless you subscribed. And
Okay.
I actually
So
subscribed.
do you have the
Yeah, I
subscription,
did
don't you?
it just to support them. And it was pretty good. Like, not a lot of the top drivers were there, unfortunately. Joe Bornhorst was the only. I mean, there's a few big. He's the only one of the really big US drivers that was there. And then Ronna Fulk, they were the two that were just duking it out, basically. But it was pretty good. Like, they have good formats and stuff. They have a lot of head-to-head racing and, qualifying sprint races. And they have their starts, the
The gate
motocross
starts.
starts.
Yeah, that's really cool. I saw a video of that.
Unreal. So I enjoy it. Like, I mean, we want to support everything in RC, right? Like,
Yeah, for
they're trying
sure.
their best. I threw some money at it and I got to watch it. It was good. Like, yeah, it's fun to watch. And there's a lot of racing on the weekend. They also have the GP2, which is for non-pros. So they
Okay,
show a
it's
bit of
like an
that as
open
well. Yeah,
class.
open class, yeah. So hopefully one day there'll be an official one in Australia, but probably not because it's so far away. But it was pretty cool.
Hope so, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good. Right, we're going to have a very quick break and we'll come back and we'll show the interview with Ari. Be back in a minute. Cheers.
A shame, think something new under sun.
Very nice.
Welcome back to the Geordie and Guns podcast, episode 6. It is the time where we interview a famous Australian RC person, and today we've got probably the most famous. We've got Ari Buckler. Hi, Ari. Good.
What's
I've
up?
talked
How are you
about when I
guys?
used to do
Yes,
12
good.
years ago nitro racing. Ari was winning in those days. I've come back 12 years later and he's still winning, so I'm not sure if he did it the whole way in between, but tonight we're going to find out. So, Geordie, take it away, boy. Let's go.
Well, Ari, you're obviously very well known within the RC community here in Australia. So, how long ago did you start racing and who kind of introduced you to the sport?
I started racing September 1989. It was the week after the 89 Worlds in St Ives, at St Ives Showground in Sydney. And it was my dad. My dad bought me a car, and one of the guys that he contracted for his work was a racer. His name was Scott Salter, and he introduced us to the racing scene, so to speak. And yeah, that's where it all started.
Yeah, so your did your dad race before that?
No, actually. I think he started racing probably about 15 years after I started.
Oh, wow. so he like was, only a couple of years ago.
Yeah. He was my mechanic at the start, and obviously, you know, it would take me to all the tracks and races and stuff, and we used to hang out, and we still do.
Yeah, I still see him at the track
sometimes. Yeah. So it's pretty good.
That's kind of similar to how I started. Dad helped me out and all that.
Nice.
Yeah. So, what was your first kind of car? Like, have you always been with X-Ray?
No, X-Ray wasn't around in 1989.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
My first car was a Losi JRX2. Losi JRX2, and then it went to a Goldpan RC10 from there. Associated.
So is that like 1/10 off-road for those?
Yeah, 1/10
aren't really familiar. Yep.
Yeah, 1/10 off-road. Yeah, nice. That was probably the strongest back then in the scene back then. Yep. So. Yeah, that's where we started.
When did you start Nitro? When did you start Nitro racing sort of after that? Or?
No, it was a while. It was probably late 90s. My first race was on a grass track in Newcastle. Hong Nor, the company called Hong Nor, said, "Oh, do you want to come and race Nitro? We'll set you with a car and everything, and we'll do all the pitting and stuff." Because I'm like, I don't know what to do with engines. But yeah, it was the Nationals in Newcastle, and I think I finished second in that. But it was good fun.
Yeah,
and I was hooked from there, like literally that first race winning, and it was Nitro from there on in. It was really good.
Yeah, nice. So do you race anything else besides like the off-road classes?
I do electric off-road and nitro off-road, do a little bit of nitro on-road from time to time, a little bit of electric on-road, but definitely off-road is the most fun.
Yeah.
Out of the lot.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have you always been in Sydney, or have you raced anywhere else or lived anywhere else around Australia?
Lived in Sydney, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, my whole life. I've never moved outside of Sydney. But yeah, travel anywhere we can go race RC cars. Seen some weird and wonderful places, some places, you know, that I would have never ever traveled to. We go to go and race RC cars, which is pretty cool.
Do you have like a favorite track at all, like anywhere around the world or within Australia?
Favorite track around the world would have to be Hootie Arena.
Yeah,
I agree. Not because it's X-Ray, but definitely the track and the facility, like just insane.
Yeah, there's on-road tracks level too, isn't there? That facility. There's on-road, or are the outdoor sections on-road track in the Hootie Arena?
Yeah, they got obviously the off-road track indoors, and then they've got an outdoor on-road track, which is like a bigger style track, and then they've got the indoor carpet area as well, which does on-road and off-road. So,
isn't there any 1/8 cool tracks in that facility, or 1/10?
The 1/10.
Yeah, it is pretty big enough for a 1/8. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they hold 8-star race meeting there. They just test and tune and stuff.
It's pretty cool.
But
from those 2019 Worlds, have you raced anywhere else internationally before?
Where did I go from there? I 2013, I went to the US Worlds in Chico for 1/10 off-road. That's in America. And then I'll say early 2000s. I went to Finland for the 10-Scale Worlds as well.
Yeah,
and I think it was either 99 or 2000. I'd won a Tamiya Cup race, and it was an all expenses paid to me a race.
Oh, that would be kick-ass. Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But the best part about it was we ended up, we were able to do a full tour of the Tamiya factory. That was pretty surreal.
Yeah, it would be really
that's
cool.
Awesome. And obviously best you've traveled to Perth for the world, so that's almost another country. So that must have been...
Yeah, true. The west side is pretty cool. They got some pretty good tracks there. And that was good, obviously, you know, doing a Worlds in your own country, so to speak, is
you had a rough
good.
Time, didn't you, in the qualies, but you ended up bumping up a couple of times from memory. Is that what happened?
Broken arm on the car in the first one. And first quali, and then the second quali ended up breaking the arm pill. So that was both runs out. And we did get two drop rounds, but it was pretty disastrous start to that one. But yeah,
you got top 50, didn't you? I think you come top 50, didn't you? I think from memory.
Thereabouts. Yeah. I think 51st
yeah,
awesome. Or something like that. It was disappointing. We always want more, but we salvaged it in
that's
the
good.
End. It was all right. Yeah.
Nah. Well, that's kind of racing for you, I suppose.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. When we went to Hootie Arena, you and I, and I think six of the other Aussies, Geordie.
That's insane. I watched that recently when I was building my 1/10th X-ray. I had it on, and it came up. I messaged Geordie and said, "Is this true? Like, there's all these." And they were talking about how a lot of locals, they just get as good as each other because that's how much they push each other. And it looked real. Because even other races, there was like a lot of same nationality in different bunches. It's quite interesting to watch. Yeah,
that's right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've been racing for, say, 30-odd years. Do you have any race or event that you think has been, like, your greatest victory of all time?
There's probably been a couple. We have to be the New South Wales States. As you get older, it gets a little bit harder. being at our local track, all the pressure was on. I put in a lot of effort for that race, probably more than I've ever had done. Especially recently anyway. And, that was probably winning both classes and doing both classes was pretty good.
It was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal weekend. Like, you drove so well that weekend. It was phenomenal. Yeah.
Thank you. But obviously your first national title, I still remember that and everything that went down, cracking that first national title. It was in Tour Drive Mod in Maitland. That would probably have to be the most memorable, being the first one. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of going from like the average Joe kind of bloke to like where you're at now, what kind of like motivated you to take it to like the next level?
It all starts out as fun. And you sort of progress from there. I guess winning for me.
Yeah.
That's probably my, what drove me as motivation. It's obviously fun winning and
of course.
You kind of want to do it all the time. It's a challenge and you challenge yourself and you motivate yourself with that. Use that as a motivational tool to continue on. Obviously fun aspect definitely as well.
Yeah.
So
do you find any challenges of being kind of a pro racer at all? Like, is there any pressure you have on yourself?
Not so much anymore. I probably did previously. But the last few years, probably not so much. I try not to put too much pressure on.
Yeah.
So that, you can enjoy the weekend. The pressure does help as well if you can channel that energy into the right areas and push yourself and motivate yourself again. You know, it helps you, you know, succeed in what you want to do, set your goals and meet those goals. And yeah, hopefully it all works out in the end.
Yeah, true. So I find like on a bigger race, I've kind of had this for a while, I get kind of nervous. Do you have any like tips or like for anyone else as well to try and stay calm during the race, like a tight battle or something?
Yeah, look, staying calm is key, definitely.
Yep.
I find, I for me personally, I channel that nervous energy into driving better and sort of not sort of, I guess, falling into the trap of putting that nervous pressure on yourself, you know, channel that energy into something positive, be it, you know, winning or not crashing or driving the right lines or whatnot, you know, changing that negative energy into something positive is probably the best way to try and overcome it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
But you don't get nervous.
Yeah, Geordie's like an ice. He's like an ice man. Yeah. I try. In Victoria, I was like, is this dude going to get nervous or what? Like, I was nervous watching him. I swear, and I was like, yeah. But anyway, I'm
yeah.
squinting
well,
behind
still
it. Well,
I get kind of nervous, but I've kind of overcome it a lot lately.
Yeah.
I got nervous at Orange in the C main trying to bump to the B's, so, you know, everyone gets nervous.
Hey, look, getting nervous is good.
It means
something to you, you know.
It's like an adrenaline rush kind of thing.
You're not getting nervous, exactly. But I'm questioning what are you doing. Like, you know, you've got to, for me, it's a reflection that I actually care. I give a shit. I care, you know, like I want to do well.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, tips for new people coming into the sport at all? Advice?
Have fun.
Yeah.
That would probably be the number one. And keep having fun. You know, it's a hobby at the end of the day for majority of people. You know, you're spending the weekend away from work, let's say, or with your family or whatever. And, yeah, have fun. Set goals if you want to get faster. You know, set yourself a goal each time you go out. Be it practice, be it a club day, be it a state level, you know, set yourself goals and try and achieve those. But, yeah, you still got to have fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's what I think it's all about too.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd change about the RC racing community or the sport in general?
I'd probably like to see some of the more like the state and the national level races be a little bit more, I don't want to say professional, but, you know, certain things at that level of racing could be done a little bit better. And then the other thing for me would be the promotion and the preparation of the promotion to try and get the hobby out there further. To sort of, you know, mainstream community and stuff like that. You know, that all that sort of stuff probably could go a long way. You know, kind of like this Geordie and Guns podcast that goes on here. Yeah.
We're reaching millions. Yeah, like, millions. That's good.
But you see, stuff like this is different. It's outside the square. And it promotes the hobby. And, you know, you guys are asking all the right questions to all the people that come on, and hopefully it helps the hobby and helps people, you know, along their journey.
Yeah, I've been into RC cars for ages, raced years ago. I lived 7 years, 5 minutes from the ride track and didn't know it was there. Like,
see,
honestly,
there you go.
Like, I don't know. I think I went there with my brother and our kids, and it was on. And I went, is there a track? Well, I didn't know it was there at Blenheim Park.
Yeah.
So and
that's on a main road too.
I know, man. Like, I was just like,
well, and I back then there was a lot of trees.
There were, before they got cut down by someone, Brad Verko, that I won't mention. But I was pretty much racing 2 weeks after that, I think, and I've raced every weekend since. So it was it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, it's true. You don't get, it's just not advertised. I think, that's one thing that definitely, just getting ads in local papers and stuff is pretty easy to do, and it can make a difference. But yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. I also think trying to encourage families to get into sport as well, especially like younger kids as well. That's what it's all about.
100%, 100%. You know, because anyway, you know, the if it's a father and son, or father, son, daughter, mother, whatever, like, you know, whoever's there, they can spend the day. You know,
yeah.
I love taking my kids to the track.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just gonna ask, what about it's Mason, yeah.
Yeah, Mason, yeah, and Maddie,
yeah,
my daughter, she,
yeah,
she actually wants to race.
She races,
my son
well.
Does. Yeah.
Wow.
They love it. They love it.
They're about one second off my pace already, by the way. How old's Mason? How old are they, your kids?
Mason is 5 and Maddie is 7.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Still very young, but they just, again, do it for fun. You know, and yeah. I love watching them have fun. It changes my perspective of the day, you know, and changes, you know, the race day for me in a good way. You know, it's more work. I get even more tired, and there's so much more to do. But the mindset is different. You know, it's not about winning. It's about watching them having fun and them enjoying what I enjoy, you know, they're doing what I do, and they're enjoying it as well. So there's a whole nother element there, which is really good.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you a question. What's kind of your favorite class to run out of all of them?
Probably 8-scale off-road.
Yeah.
8-scale buggy? Off-road. Yeah, buggies, yeah. Yeah, 10-scale off-road is for where it sort of started for me, and that's always going to be there. But the 8-scale off-road side of things is really cool. You know, the noise, the smoke, the petrol. But the longer racing, the longer running, the longer finals.
The biggest stuff thing as well, right? Like, it's so good having pit stops and stuff. Yeah.
Like, there's so many elements that can go wrong, you know, and that can you have no control over, and it's so hard to win in 8-scale. The challenge is quite difficult because there's so many variables, and that's sort of what keeps me coming back and keeps me, you know, enjoying it the most. So
yeah,
tell us about the Proline series. What's happening with the Proline? Sorry, Geordie, do you want to?
No, it's good. I want to hear this.
Yeah, Proline series. Tell us about it. Plug it.
Thanks to you, we've had some. Thanks to you, Andrew, we've had some good online presence with some changes that you've done. So thank you. We've got a couple of rounds coming up. We do need to rerun the ACT round due to the rain. So we'll see where that fits in. I think the weather report mentions that it's going to be raining for the next 4 months or something.
Yeah,
I know.
It's dreadful.
We'll try and
very good.
So bad.
We'll try and squeeze in a Sunday where it's not. But we got Bateman's Bay coming up. That's as officially the next round, middle of May. That one is. So that's always a good one. Nice little track down by the beach. It's a good little club.
Looking
actually
forward to that.
They put in a lot of effort, come a long way the last couple of years, and the whole crew down there do a really good job. So that's our next one. But yeah, we'll
so that's the same
there.
Weekend as the Queensland state titles, 110th, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yeah. So we won't be able to go up to Queensland. We were planning on, and then realised it was on the same weekend.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a 1/8 series happening in Victoria now too, right? The EMCC or something? Like there's three, like a tri-series? It's pretty good to start seeing some 1/8.
They had the EMCC one
a
couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good to see.
It's kind of been a bit dead like the last couple of years, but it's picked up its pace in the last year or two with 1/8.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way with Sydney, I think. Like Ray Monday, Lachlan's running it, so that gets a bit of interest. And the same with what happened was at Hills, you know, I think like Ben was talking about here, you know, Matty Cooper started doing it, and all of a sudden, you know, we're getting more people, and I bought one again. So it's good that it's getting a bit of a revival, and the Proline series is really good for that. Like it's not, you know, it's not every 2 weeks. You've got a bit of a gap, but they're a bit of a drive, but it's quite fun. I've enjoyed it so far. But yeah. It's got me hooked on the 1/8 again.
Yeah. I'm hoping next year I can get it into 1/8, even if it's electric.
Mate, if you're going to do 1/8, mate, you might as well put a motor in, like put a petrol motor in it, seriously. Well,
Andrew, you probably don't know this, but we tried, we almost got Geordie down to come to Canberra. I heard. Luckily, he didn't. Obviously, in the end. But
you've got to give him your
luckily, because the weather was terrible.
Mate, we didn't do a lap. Yeah. Seriously. I got home, my wife almost killed me. You do a weekend away, you do a lap. Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. Anyway.
Yeah. No, Geordie would have hit the track because it wasn't his car. He was going to borrow mine. Right. So he would have run it in the wet.
Yeah, I could have.
Yeah.
No.
But next time. Well, you can come to the rerun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh, do you have any plans for in the future? Any traveling or overseas? Well, obviously with COVID, it's a bit hard at all.
Yeah, funny that. I was actually looking into Spain this afternoon.
Wow.
For the Worlds.
And last night I was looking at Silver State race in America. Oh. It was an indoor 8-scale race. Obviously COVID ruined everything for travel and for most of racing, actually. But I definitely want to go. Hanging to go away overseas and race again. It's definitely an experience.
Who's your pit man, Ari, normally for 1/8?
Michael Stone normally pits for me. I've actually never raced overseas in 1/8 scale off-road, so I've never actually had to have a pit man with me overseas.
How's he go, Stoney? Is he all right? Is he right as a pit man, Stoney?
Yeah, look, he's pretty good.
Does he get stressed?
Yeah, I stress.
He's a pretty intense guy. Like, but yeah, I think he'd be good for the job.
I think he's a bit under the pressure at the moment. From Peter Cooper. Pete Cooper seems to be claiming that number one pitman spot. Yeah. So you know, I think Michael's feeling the pressure a little bit at the moment. So that's why we have a pit stop challenge.
Yeah, the pit stop challenge.
Big rivalry.
I pitted for Matt Seckold in the A's in the A main, and he finished higher than he started. So you know.
That's it. Yeah. That's all we need.
So that was pretty good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. It was quite fun.
I think the biggest thing to do is finish, right? You know, in Nitro, if you're finishing the race, you're pretty much winning in that sense, wherever you finish. So
Yeah,
it's kind of like an endurance kind of race, where it's like 110, it's like a sprint race kind of thing.
That's right.
Awesome. All right, we're going to have a very quick break, and we'll be back to wrap this up with Ari in a minute.
Cool.
Cheers.
Cool.
And we're back, episode 6 of Geordie and Guns. Still talking to Ari Buckler. So Geordie, got a couple more questions, mate.
Yeah, so I think everyone wants to know what kind of events you're going to be doing for the rest of the year.
Probably I'm going to try and do anything and everything, really. we've missed out on so much racing the last couple of years. In the 10 scale scene, We'll try and do whatever race is coming up, really. State titles, New South Wales state titles at Ride, definitely do that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't go to the Queensland state titles, but we'll endeavour to go to the Nationals up there. I think that's in November.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be the two bigger meetings for 10 scale. And then 8 scale off-road, obviously we'll do the Proline Challenge. I plan to go to Queensland for the States and the Nationals. I think it's June. June is the state titles, and then the Nationals as well. We'll go up for that for both of those races. And then there'll be a couple of XRS races for 10 scale as well. We'll do that.
Is that going to be at Hills this year again, or is it going to move? XRS?
It'll be at Hills.
Awesome.
It's been at Hills every time around December.
Yeah. I think that's one of my favourite races of the year, I've got to say.
It's a pretty cool race, eh? It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit serious, but it's fun. And obviously the Castle Club does such a good job.
It's a good venue.
So, yeah.
For sure. All right.
Nah, it's very good. Yeah.
That was brilliant. Big, huge thanks to Ari for taking the time. Really appreciate it. I think it's going to be a popular episode.
No problem.
So if you've got any questions for us, don't forget to to pop them into us. And of course, please, if you like the videos, it really helps us get spread the word around with the YouTube algorithm. So please do that. And if you'd like to subscribe, please do. And if you're listening on the podcast, please give us a review on iTunes. All right, Ari. Cheers, mate. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you. That was
brilliant. Thanks for coming on.
See you on the track. Behind you.
Thank you.
All right. See
you,
mate.
Jordy's always...
Oh, no. He wouldn't say the same thing. He'll be saying, no. Alongside him or in front of him, I'll be saying. I can't wait to see you two head-to-head again. It's going to be... When's that going to be next? Probably national, state titles?
Head-to-head?
New South Wales?
State titles, hopefully.
Yeah, New South Wales, maybe?
Yeah, you coming up to ride?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that'll be it.
Try and do everything we can to get up there.
I want to get faster in 1/8, so when he starts, I beat him in once, the first time. And I'll never beat him again. Maybe I won't even do that. We'll see. All right.
I can pick for Jordy, and I can make you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, it sounds good.
All right. Cheers, Ari.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Welcome back to Jordy and Guns Podcast, Episode 6. That was a great interview with Ari that we just played. We recorded that previously. So we have looked up in the break where it's a Campbelltown Hobbies 2022 New South Wales Driver Series. So round one is at Maitland on June 5th. Round two is at Ryde, July 31st. And then October 30 is the one for Hills. So the control tires hole shot 2.0. And they've done it in a way where Saturday is a practice day, like free practice, and Sunday is the racing. So if you just want to go one day, you can. If you want to go practice, you can. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like how they have the controlled tire. Because we don't have the controlled tire for our BDS rounds.
It makes it easy, eh? You just get and whole shots work pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good. So that's, I'll probably go to all three of them. They're pretty cool. I've never raced a two-wheel drive at Maitland. I've only done my 1/8 in practice up there, so...
Maitland's the oil track, isn't it?
Yeah, it's high grip. So it's very similar to Keilor with that. So you've got three qualifiers, best two of the three counts. You drop your qualifier, and then it's three 5-minute finals. Doesn't say anything about points.
Okay.
I don't know how that works. So I'm sure... Anyway, check it out. So Campbelltown Hobbies, always been great supporters of this kind of thing, so it's good to see them doing that. So I'll probably be doing those, Jordy. I'll be talking about it on here.
Yeah, nice.
Hopefully winning something. All right.
Are you going to do modified or stock?
I'm thinking I'm going to do modified.
I'm
just thinking, I've got mod motors in the cars. I'm doing mod at Ride.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking because, not just because I'm doing 1/8 a lot. I'm just thinking I just want to just race against the top guys. And
yeah, a bit more experience.
I'm gonna do mod. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I'm not that. I think with the New South Wales state titles, I'll do stock, right? Because that one,
Yeah.
I guess, but yeah, for club stuff, I might stick to mod, see how it goes.
No, that'd be good.
I know some of the guys have tried it, and their goal is to stay on the lead lap, with Lockie and that. So, that'd be amazing. I'm not sure I could do that. So that would be amazing.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Definitely good not a goal. Fit initially. Yeah, it's a good goal. All right, cool. So, wrenching corner. Jordy, today we're going to talk about diffs.
Diff maintenance.
Yeah. So how about you take us away? What are your thoughts on diff maintenance?
Yeah, so, you have two kind of diffs, usually the ball diff in the rear of the two-wheel drive and then the gear diffs all in the four-wheel drive. So I think with ball diffs, they're kind of a bit more fiddly, it takes a bit more time to kind of set them in and make sure they're running correctly. Because it's got the little balls and everything, there's the more components within the diff. Main thing to do with those is make sure, because there's a big ring inside of it, so you want to make sure that doesn't wear out too much. So I find if you use, after a couple of months, it kind of gets the groove in the ring because of the balls, and you kind of need to wet sand it down a bit, so it's back to factory, basically. And then, I find that just goes like brand new. You just put some fresh grease in and it feels like new again once you run it in. So I do that probably every 2 or 3 months, I'd say.
That's pretty good. So I've done that before, the wet sand. You just do it gently across it and it scours it, doesn't it? Like it gets out the groove. Yeah.
Yeah. So it puts, makes it like brand new. So I find doing that last, the diff lasts heaps longer than if you just keep running it.
And then do you, when you put the ball diff, this is for the tour drive obviously, right? So when you do the ball diff, do you screw it all the way in and take it out? Is it a quarter turn? Like to get it back to not too tight, not too loose.
Yeah.
Do you have a technique for that?
Yeah, I know the manual says to do that, but I find if you tighten it too much, the ball's kind of dint the ring. Away. Yeah. So I kind of just tighten up a little bit by little bit, go off the feel of it.
Okay.
So I kind of feel if it's tight enough, because like once you run it in as well, it kind of loosens off a bit. So you got to tighten it back up. So yeah, I just go off feel. So.
And do you do this? When you first do the diff, you'll see if it's barking, or you know you'll press it to see whether it's.
Yeah. Usually when you check the slipper.
Yeah.
Like, if it's barking, then you know it's too loose. The diff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Then and, I suppose the gear diffs. I find they're much easier to work on. Just put fresh grease. I mean, oil. Sorry, not grease. Well, you do grease them as well, but yeah, you put oil in them. So I find you might find over a couple months they kind of loosen off a bit. Like feel like there's no oil in them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of go off feel as well. If there's any big events coming up, I put new oils in it.
Yeah.
And one thing when building them, once you have like the casing set up, instead of putting all the gears in and then putting oil in them, I find you put a bit of oil in first and then the bigger bevel gear, a bit more oil, and then you put the four satellite gears in and then
that's
a little
good
bit
tip.
More oil.
Because I mean, with the four-wheel drives,
settle down all the way.
Yeah, and if a four-wheel drives, if you're using 500K or something like the big, thick oil,
super thick.
It takes freaking ages to settle down.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So, and I find some people overfill them and then it feels too tight.
Mm.
So I kind of put the top bevel gear in, and then if it's any excess oil that pours out the side, you just kind of wipe it off and then you put your other out drive back on top and then screw it up.
So you know how we talked about this at the start of the show, there's in the manuals they say you can weigh it. You've never done that? You
scales.
Just do it by sight or feel? Is that how you do it?
Yeah, I've never used the scales. I know some people recommend it, but I don't think you need it if you know how to build a diff correctly. Yeah. So, just kind of, you got to be patient, especially with gear diffs, allowing the oil to settle in.
Yeah.
So, you just go off feel and sight of what it looks like.
And for the Queensland state titles, there's talk about half the locals use gear diffs in their tour drive, half the locals use ball diffs. Because it's such high grip. What are your thoughts? You don't want to give away, it's fine. But what are your thoughts? Are you going to have both there, or you think ball diff's the way to go?
I'm definitely going to take both, because it depends how you kind of like your car to feel, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, I'm very uncertain that what's going to be the final choice. So, I'll end up taking both and trying both.
That's really good. Do you ever change the oils in your diffs mid race, like at a big race meet, or you normally know what you're going to use and you don't worry about it?
Yeah, well, I've kind of found the base setting that works well on nearly every track I race on.
Right.
So, usually all the tracks I race on here in Victoria, I use the same oils, but I don't know about charges being super high grip. Might have to go up in oils.
Yeah.
But, and same as heat, if it's hot, you usually go up in a bit of
That's
oil
the other
as well.
Thing, right? Yeah, because the oil thins, right? The viscosity changes when it's hot.
Yeah, that's right.
One thing I noticed with you and the top drivers, every time before you go on to race, you put the car down and rev it with the wheels kind of scrubbing. Is that to heat the diffs up or for the tyres or both? What is that?
It's a bit of both, more so to just heat. Well, not really heat, but scrub in the tyres, especially when they're new, scrubbed in feels mostly better.
Yeah.
But you find some people, I kind of do it myself, warms up the diffs before the race. You kind of hold one side of the car on the tyres and then you allow the other side of the car to spin. So that just warms up the oils, gets them moving nice and freely and, just settles them in a bit more.
I like it. Yeah, I've noticed you guys do that, and so I'm going to start doing it so I look cool. But yeah, I know it's good. So that's good.
That definitely helps.
Yeah. I mean, all those things. I mean, this is the thing, right? Like when people watch guys like you going around and they think, you know, it's all those little things that no one else does or the others don't do. And it all adds up, right? Like, it all adds up to just little things that just eke out advantages. And so it's always good to see.
You just learn along the way and you adapt, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, that was good. Anything else? That's it for diffs, I think. We covered it.
No, I think that's all.
Cool.
Just make sure they're running smoothly.
Yeah. We'll have a quick break and then we'll come back. Welcome back, episode 6. We'll wrap up the show. I was just telling Joy, so I am reading Invisible Speed again by JQ. And when I first bought that book and read it, I didn't know much about anything, so it kind of went completely over my head. But after reading The Racer's Guide, you know, the local one, and then getting better, I'm reading it again, and now plus I'm doing 1/8 again, so it's mostly Invisible Speed's all mostly about 1/8, so it's been really good. So I find knowing more about the theory is helping me with tuning the car, like just learning about that.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty good. So yeah, I think once I finish it again, I think I might be in better shape. It just amazes me that when I talk to you at the track and I ask a question about anything setup, and you just kind of, it comes out, oh, you do this, oh, you do that, oh, you do that. Like, that's kind of crazy. I'd love to get to that level where I just could look at, use a car and then realize what's wrong with it. And I've gotten better. I think I did the last, at the 1/8 at Orange, the car was just really difficult to drive, and I lowered the oils and the shocks, and it just made a massive difference, right? Like now that I'm getting to that point where I can make changes and going, oh, wow, that feels so much better. And realizing to me, I'm thinking to myself, I think the shock oils are too high, and it was. So it was pretty good.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's all about experimenting as well. Learning from your mistakes and everything.
That's the thing. I think when I first started, I got competitive with my mates really early. So I was too scared to try things at the track because I wanted to just win, even if it was just me and him trying to make top 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But often it's good to go to, like, even you've been doing this with local races. You just kind of, I'm going to try this. And just try not to worry about what happens at the local race. Yeah.
Yeah, even if you don't think it's going to work, at least you're going to learn something from it and know what the car's going
to
do.
Yeah. It's really important to be able to do that. Not make every single run like a world championship. Like, you just, some runs you want to sacrifice to learn, right? And I think that's
right.
Yeah.
And that's why we do practice days to try all these things.
Yeah. No, it's good. So, yeah, anyway, just the joys of learning. Getting better at driving.
That's what it's all about.
For sure. Learning. Exactly. All right, mate. That was a good show. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you for
having
me.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. We'll have to work out who the next person is. Actually, who we're going to interview. I have to find someone different. But
we'll be on the hunt.
Yeah, we'll be on the hunt. I have got a few people lined up, actually. I need to reach out to them and see who's available. So.
Sounds good. Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. Please do smash the like button if you're watching it on YouTube or give us a review or whatever if you like it on iTunes. Listen to the audio. Cheers, Geordie. Good luck with anything. F1, good luck. You're a Verstappen supporter, aren't you? Max?
Yeah, Verstappen. Yep.
Man.
And of course, Danny Rick.
Yeah, Danny Rick. It's so awesome. Ferrari are so good. Like, the racing's been incredible.
They've been vlogging everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see Max and Charles going at it. It's going to be unreal. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so keen.
All right, well, enjoy. Saturday, you're going to see the qualifying, are you?
Yeah, Saturday's qualifying.
Wow,
that'll
be so good. Anyway, I'll watch it on telly tomorrow. All right, good stuff. Thank you very much.
You might see me there.
I know, yeah. I'll look out for you. Have fun. And cheers, everybody. And see you next time.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
See ya.
Peace. Bye.